Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready? Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
My name is, of course, is Mark Johnston. I'm running the live Q&A today. Some of you have submitted some questions, kind of wondering how could whatever, like the big marriage problems that you're seeing, how could they possibly be solved? Seeing as how this is what I do day in and day out, is help people solve some of these impossible marriage problems. You know, I thought I'd answer a few questions and do as best as I can, at least with that. Now, I'm going to point out that not meeting a lot of you, not having a ton of information, it does make it a little bit difficult, but I'm going to do as best as I can and try to answer some questions and give some practical advice. Now, I am looking at the chat here. So if you do have a question and you are watching live, please let me know and I would love to answer any of your questions as well. All right, I do have a few submissions, like I said, and then if there's anyone live, please ask questions. First one's going to come from Sarah. And Sarah's situation, it sounds like her spouse isn't talking to her, wants out, maybe having an affair. So I've been married to my high school sweetheart, Zach, for 7 years, but together close to 18 years. We did have a rocky period about 4 years ago, at which point I did file for divorce, but we ended up working through things with counseling and I stopped the divorce at that time. Slowly, we have gone back to our ways of not prioritizing each other. Zach feels as if we both have been unhappy for a long time and he says he can't do it anymore. He loves me, but doesn't think we can be happy together. I've been trying to focus on what I did to contribute to get us here and focusing on doing better. He says that me trying now is just fake. There have been rumors that there's something going on with the recently widowed gym owner's wife, but he claims that they are just friends because she doesn't have any friends and is lonely and they like doing the same thing. So he's fixing things at the gym for her and doing things at her house. They have been golfing together, just the two of them. I feel like part of him feeling this way with us might have been something to do with that. It's definitely confusing because he's still in our home, but pretty much ignoring me. I keep telling myself, if he truly wanted to leave, he would have, because he does have options of places to go. Okay, there is a lot going on. And, you know, first off, I'm just going to say, I don't like to assume that there's an affair going on unless we have very solid evidence. But yes, I can understand why this situation would seem suspicious, you know, with him checking out and on top of that, spending more time with another female, that would be very, very concerning. So this situation has a very distinct challenge in that they have come back from the precipice of divorce one time already, and now things are declining again. And I'll tell you that that's a really difficult situation to come back from. It's something that we deal with all the time here with High Thrive, but it is a difficult situation because essentially you've asked them to say, hey, trust me, things are different. We can change, but now it's back to the same way. My guess here is that in the interim, since the time that they patched things together, there wasn't enough discussion of like what was really causing their problems or enough focus on like maintenance in that time. Sarah even says here that they went back to not prioritizing each other. And that's problematic. You know, ideally, what should have happened is there should have been some fix that allowed for things to correct themselves if it started going that way again. And I think, you know, if I were to give some advice to Sarah, I would say that's what needs to be focused on, is those skills that would have been needed to prevent this from becoming a problem again. Things like increased feedback and communication. It would be a lot about some of those, a lot of those repair skills that in general, I'm guessing here that Sarah and Zach are not talking about their concerns and problems. And Sarah needs to get around whatever hesitations there are and be very direct and trying to solve those with Zach. Now, I imagine that another challenge here is, you know, with Zach saying that he's done, or that they can't be happy together, he's going to be a little bit reluctant to cooperate. And so Sarah needs to find some ways to join in on some of the things that he does enjoy and find opportunities for there to be some happiness. Even further, Sarah needs to really emphasize those things and over-highlight those sort of moments on top of that. And so I'm going to summarize everything for Sarah. The big picture is Sarah needs to build up trust again. I mean, no duh. Building up trust means tackling tackling the problems that allowed for the relationship to come back to this state. There needs to be a whole lot of demonstration from Sarah that is handled. On top of that, I'm guessing that there's a problem here with fulfillment or connection. And so Sarah needs to inject some opportunity for Zach to be able to see the ability to have that happiness with her. That would be what I would be working on in an immediate sense. I would say, Sarah, go to the gym. Sarah, invite him out for something fun together. And you have to cut back on those other things that were getting in the way and becoming a priority over the relationship. All right. Hope that all makes sense. So we're going to keep on going. I'm just going to put this in here. Please let me know if you have questions here in the chat. Let me know, guys, if you are able to see this. I believe the chat is working, but you know, it might be a quiet day as well. Hey, and I even just got another submission through the job form. So great. Next up, we have Lawrence. His general situation, Lawrence is pointing out that his spouse won't forgive him and they've lost some connection and intimacy. Let's see here. Lawrence is saying that she's in a negative cycle where I do good. The good that he does is classified as manipulation. I work to honor her boundaries and love the kids who come with me and be kind to those who don't. We are separated. When she communicates her negative feelings, she'll bring up she is going ahead with the divorce. Okay. This is a common occurrence when someone is really gunning for divorce. There needs to be some justification for the divorce. So Lauren's doing all this good stuff doesn't allow for that justification to be there. See, divorce is a difficult decision even for anyone. I have a hard time believing that, you know, there's a substantial amount of people that say, yeah, divorce is an easy thing. You know, well, unless there's something weird going on, I would say it's difficult for everyone. And so we understand like why there might be this negative interpretation of Lawrence's actions. The important piece here, I do feel like there does need to be some amount of challenging of her narrative, not just by like doing things differently, but by like having some boundaries. So the general process that like most people go through is I say, hey, let's work on some personal changes first. Now after that, we start on building up some cooperation and you know, helping the other person with some shared goals. Usually after that, we do need to start tackling this problem in particular and challenging some of those negative interpretations. A good way to go about this, you know, in terms of structuring some boundaries, is you don't want to just completely put up a wall. You're not trying to just say no. You're not like, if they say you're trying to be manipulative, you don't say, no, I'm not. That's not how we go about it. I guess like the idea here is a yes and sort of response. Not that you need to like throw yourself under the bus and say, yeah, you're a manipulative person, but it's more like, okay, yes, I can see how you might see that. And I'm going to point out that what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to, you know, do whatever good here. You know, I'm trying to honor your boundaries. I'm trying to show some love towards the kids. And I do think that there needs to be a consistent challenging, some consistent challenging statements there. You know, even if she brings up like, well, I'm going to divorce you anyway. Okay. I can, you know, like you're feeling very hurt. I can see that. And I still want to, you know, have some communication if there are some boundaries that need to be honored. And I still need to be able to, you know, show some love towards the kids. How would we do that together? And that's the kind of tone or way we go about this. Sometimes this is referred to as like rolling with resistance. We don't put up a wall with resistance. We kind of receive it and we roll with it and we keep on going. Okay, you're thinking that I'm being manipulative. Okay, I can see that, why that would be upsetting. And I still would like to accomplish this good thing with us. That's what I'm trying to do right here. You can tell that I'm doing this by saying, because I'm using these words right here. I showed up and I didn't cross these boundaries. And, you know, I think there can be some challenge without actually just telling them no. And I think for Lawrence, you have to be very consistent with that. The goalpost that you'd be looking for at this point is when this redirection stops happening a little bit, when your good actions stop being misinterpreted. Because if you keep doing this effectively, then it's not going to really work as an excuse anymore. It's not going to be a justification. And she's going to try to pivot possibly to something else, or she might actually shift and be able to talk to you a little bit more if she's somewhat receptive. Great. We're going to keep going along. People are putting in their submissions even as I'm talking. So it looks like you guys have the link for that. let's see here. Oh, hey, and we got Sarah there in the chat. I will try to get to questions in the chat if I can get through all the formal submissions first. We'll try to get through as many as possible. So next up is Shanae. Shanae generally is saying that spouse won't talk to them, spouse wants out, is not forgiving Shanae. There's a lot of arguments. Okay, so there's a lot going on. Shanae says, my husband and I lost connection sometime within the last 2 years. And from there, we just stopped being able to understand each other when conflicts arose. Saying mean things and doing things to hurt one another. Even for some reason, it became easier to blame each other instead of fixing them. Now, we both have tried, but the one thing with my husband is he checked out before per what he says. And I could see it, but he would say things to make me feel that he wanted it to work. Not quite sure. So he was saying he checked out, but he was also saying that he wanted things to work. I think that's what Shanae is saying. Thing is, he kept cutting me down and threatening our marriage and saying things to hurt me. Then he finally left and is just angry and won't talk to me. He won't open up and stop the blaming. I've truly tried. I've apologized. He doesn't respond to messages anymore either. A final hearing is set for September 7th, and our mediation is this month. Okay. So these sort of situations where communication is very limited, you really have to use the communication that you do have effectively. With Shanae and her husband, there is a lot of negativity. I'm guessing that even as Shanae is trying to patch things, that her husband is probably just dealing with a lot of hurt. And he's like, okay, I don't want to deal with this. She's sorry. Well, she should be sorry. And there's some sort of validation in being able to feel that way. I think the best approach here would be to start from the beginning. A lot of times where I start with clients is it's really important to identify very specific concerns or problems or goals. Generally, it's a lot easier to get some cooperation if you were trying to resolve an active point of pain with someone, like there's no communication and things are getting bogged down with the divorce process, or there's some amount of need to talk, especially if you share kids or something, but it's just really tense. Sinead needs to identify, okay, what does her husband want from this situation? What is that positive goal? Does he want to feel heard? Does he want to feel like his opinion matters? Does he dislike all the tension and the chaos and all the arguments? And so therefore, like he really wants some peace. And what I would do is I would send a more formal message or note. We call this an expectations letter. And without really asking anything from him, I would suggest that Sinead set out all the things that she is going to do to address these concerns and problems. What you'd be aiming for is trying to find opportunities to demonstrate that some of these things are different. And so you might put a little bit of pressure like, hey, I would really like to talk about the divorce proceeding ahead of time. Can we meet? I also just kind of want to talk about some things that I've been thinking about. Like try to get out a phone call, try to at least allow for some text messages. If you can do that, maybe meet in a public place. But like you need to send that expectations letter first. You're basically laying out what will happen. And your job here is to build up trust by following through on, you know, what you have set out. Generally, I recommend with many clients is to leave it a little bit open-ended for some feedback. Say, hey, look, this is what I'm going to try. I'm trying to resolve these concerns and these problems, but I'm really open if there's some other things that you feel need to be worked on as well. Just so that it's not so closed off and it's not so like, my concern there is the misinterpretation, like, oh, they don't get me, they don't get what the problem is. And I want to avoid that. So yeah, to summarize, Sinead needs to send an expectations letter and push for some small interactions. You can be direct about trying to say like, hey, I want to talk about some of the divorce proceedings, something that he wants, but I also want like add in something that you want. Try to get him some amount of interaction as much as you can. All right. We're going to keep going. Jesse now. So Jesse says his spouse is having an affair. They've lost some connection and intimacy. It says we're divorced. So Jesse's saying divorce and wanting to reunite and reconnect, but she is still in love with the other person. They are still living together, interestingly enough. So that is not common. And they communicate every day. Okay. So with Jesse, this is what I see post-divorce. So occasionally, once the divorce goes through, some people will say, okay, whew, now there's no pressure to jump back into the relationship. And sometimes that it can allow for a little bit more ease, a little bit more casualness within the relationship. Other times, especially if there is some sort of active pain going on, we might not get that. Now, Jesse didn't provide a ton of information. So I'm going to make some assumptions here. So the fact that they're living together still tells me that things aren't super, super, super uncomfortable or rocky. They might be cold or distant. It might feel, I'm guessing it's more of like a roommate sort of scenario, and that's kind of the vibe, which tells me that there's some ability to have a little bit of casualness there. What I would be recommending for Jesse is that's where you need to really build things up, and to not really put a lot of pressure on reconciliation. This is often the mistake in these sort of scenarios, is there's so much desperation, like, can you please come back? Can we please talk about it? And you got to just be normal. Now, she's in love with someone else. There's a reason that she's still around. This sounds like a really messy situation, because I can't imagine a new relationship being super comfortable if the person that you're dating is still living with their ex. That sounds like something is messy there, and it doesn't sound like that relationship is really super stable right now. It may be that if she's saying that she loves this other person, you have to like build up the situation to the point where there is actually a choice here. Like right now, if she's not really talking, if she's, things are very tense, you're not really presenting a choice between two good options. And so you really have to build up all that casual, nice interactions first. You have to demonstrate that that things are different, that it won't go back to the way it was. And only then could you really put some boundaries and say, hey, look, you have to choose me or them. If that's too much, if that feels like too big of a slope or too big of a mountain to climb and too much to deal with, you have to ask yourself, you know, is this healthy to continue pursuing if the two of you are divorced? You know, really what we're looking for is like kind of like this, these indicators if whether there's a chance. And really what I would be looking for in this situation is, if they're living together, can they talk normally? Can they be around each other and have it be casual and friendly? Is there some indication that she still wants Jesse to be in her life? If those are all the case, then, you know, there's some consideration for continuing to pursue this, because that sort of scenario can develop into a better relationship, more of a friendship, and then maybe more afterward. But once again, if you can't handle Jesse, if you can't handle her pursuing this other guy while living together, you got to ask yourself that question. Is this healthy? And if ultimately you're saying no, maybe you need to work on distancing yourself and seeing if there's an opportunity later. It's really hard for me to give very, very definitive advice here, because there's only very little bits and pieces of information. So I hope that was at least somewhat helpful. Let's see. Okay, we're going to keep going. Now, interestingly enough, this one was submitted, but they don't want it shared. I'm going to talk about it maybe a little bit more generally. Let me just look this up really quick. Okay, this person is separated. There's concerns about an affair as he's interacting with a friend. They've been separated for 2 years. There's been some drawing up of papers for the divorce. Okay, he claims that this other person is just a friend. This one sounds like they need to start from the beginning as well. And there needs to be a lot of buildup of the idea that things are different first before there's a lot of discussion of reconciliation. My guess here in this situation is that they're trying to put the cart before the horse. They're saying, please talk to me, or please come back, please work on this, please stop the divorce process, without like, we can do this, we could go see a therapist. That's all talking about like the how it could work, but less about the why. Why would they need to work this out? And you really kind of have to build that up with your husband here first before you can really get him to back away from that decision for a divorce or to consider ending the affair. This, without knowing what the complaints and concerns are, it's hard for me to say what you need to specifically do. I do recommend that if you want to look at options, that you do need to talk with a professional and explore what could be done to fix some of this. Like, I would need to know a lot of the concerns, the complaints that are coming from the husband, the amount of communication that's going on, how much she's been engaging this desperate sort of, please stop this, please work with me, please don't pursue this other person. Sort of be like, there's a lot of things that I need to check in on that isn't in this form. But I would say, hey, we need to start at the beginning and work on yourself first and make sure that the changes that you need to make are in place. And then we can start building up some cooperation. Okay. That was all the submitted forms. I do see a bunch of comments here, and I'm going to scroll through this and see what I can do here. I'm just seeing if there's overlap. All right, Leanne is saying, how do I deal with her getting into my text conversations with my husband? She's harassing me. I would prefer she use her own phone and kids use their own instead of him allowing them to. He's obviously uncomfortable, but he doesn't set boundaries. Leanne, I assume that her is some threat or maybe a possible affair partner. There needs to be some discussion, Leanne, with, and I'm not sure in Leanne's case how much cooperation she has with her husband. I mean, she is saying that he isn't setting boundaries, but are they talking? Is he generally saying that he wants things to work? Is he agreeing that affairs in general are wrong? I'm really curious as to why he won't set boundaries. My guess here is he might say, well, she's a friend. I don't want to mess that friendship up or something along those lines. When we set boundaries like this, there does need to be some consideration for what the other person wants from this behavior. And if you just put up a flat wall, like you can't talk with her, she can't engage in this conversation with us, and he does it anyway, well, there's a reason why he's doing that. And your goal there would be to say, hey, look, I can see that what you want some friends, you want to be able to talk to people that are interesting, things like that. You have to find a way to support those underlying wants if Leanne is going to get her husband's cooperation. So if she approaches it and say, you know, like a little bit what I said earlier, like this yes and approach. Okay. You want to be able to have some friends. Yes, great. I want to help you support you with that. And these interactions with this woman are really feeling unhealthy for me. Help me find a solution for that. How do we make that part of this feel healthy while still supporting you with what you want? And I'm guessing that there'll be a lot better ability to get a little bit more cooperation there. Calder is saying, we're divorced and trying to reconnect, but she is still in love with the other person. Get along great, but she is resistant and still doesn't feel a connection, or at least tells me she doesn't. What can I do? Okay. Trying to reconnect. So I'm assuming that the goal is like she agrees, like, hey, we should get back together, but there's this emotional component. In these cases, I like to look at what's referred to as the cognitive triangle. Cognitive triangle is the concept within cognitive behavioral therapy. It says, hey, if you want to make some changes, you need to consider your thoughts, your feelings, and your behavior. That by affecting one of the, your thoughts affect your feelings and your behavior affects your feelings and your thoughts, so on and so forth. So if the aim here is to change some feelings, there needs to be a lot of consideration for how are we supporting thoughts and beliefs about reconnecting. What are we actually doing to support reconnecting? Even further, there are plenty of exercises to build up specific emotions. I'm thinking of I have a few couples that I'm working with right now that are in these stages where they're like, we are getting back together. This is going well. And I need to get past some of these emotions. And these are the exact kind of conversations that we're having. We're saying, okay, what's getting in the way and how do we support, or what are we working towards and how do we support those sort of goals? I'm thinking of one in particular where they're saying, hey, I want to have a relationship where things feel secure, where I feel wanted, where I feel like I matter within the relationship. And this is kind of their mantra, like these are the things that we're supporting. And so a lot of what they do is they go out on dates, should seem obvious, but even beyond that, they might sometimes put aside other plans and then they communicate those ideas like, hey, I put aside these other plans because this relationship is important to me. This is what we refer to within the High Thrive Coaching Program. We refer to this as a home message. You keep coming back to it over and over again with the things that you're communicating, with the things that you're doing. And if Calder is and his ex are genuinely trying to work things out, they need to have a very specific direction that they're trying to head in. So if they're both saying, we need to reconnect, great. How are you supporting that together? What are your goals? What are you doing for this? What are you thinking about this? How are you sharing those thoughts? How are you building up feelings of this? What is getting in the way of those feelings? It's all of that. And Calder's even saying they were living separate, but they're moving back in together. They've moved back in together. Okay. And I'm seeing a bunch more from Calder. Okay, let's see. Calder saying, to clarify, she was with the other person while we were separated and that relationship is over, but I moved back in after we were getting close again. And now she says she's still in love with the other person. Okay. And Calder's even saying this was Jesse. Okay. I'm going to clarify a little bit with Calder even further. So they're trying to reconnect and she's still pining after this other person. I do still think then that we have a little bit more direct communication that they want to get back together. So much like some of the other people that I've been recommending, I think that yes and sort of approach is going to be useful. Like, okay, this is difficult that you still have feelings for this other person. I can see that. And if we really want to make sure that this relationship feels stable, we need to do something about that. And I want to make sure that you feel like you have a loving relationship to be excited about. So this is all about identifying and being very communicative and being very open and very direct about what your goals are, Calder. So all of that, I've probably been all over the place with advice. So I'm just going to reiterate a bunch of things. Talk very directly with your ex. Identify very specific directions that you want to take the relationship in. And be very deliberate about how you are building those goals up. You have to, both of you, you have to show that there's going to be follow through, because it's imperative that you are building trust. And by setting goals and following through, that's the way that you build that up. Great. With that, I will have to get going. I know I've probably left some left unanswered. And so if you're needing some support, please put some more comments in. Say, hey, look, Mark didn't have time to get to my comment. We'll try to get, I'll try to respond in the chat at a later point, and we'll get someone potentially to talk with you as well. So I'm glad to see all the effort that you guys are putting into trying to fix your relationships. And that's really admirable, because I recognize that this is a difficult situation. And I can only imagine kind of the feelings that you must have as you're trying to grasp for any sort of solution possible to try to turn this around. And I really feel for that. And that's why we are here. And that's why I do these sort of things, because I want to be able to help you all out as much as I can. So with that, like I said, there's this sort of format. It's a little bit limited in how much I can support you all in. And you know, a lot of these situations are very tricky. So please, please, please get the support that you need. Make sure that it's from someone who actually knows what they're doing as well, that specializes specifically in relationships. With that, good luck and hope that everything works out for all of you. All right.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.